Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to the Independent Coronavirus Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Kelly. This is the show where we go behind the headlines and look into stories about the COVID-19 pandemic. For many people around the world, lockdown has been a major part of the last few months. In fact, we've just passed a remarkable 100 days of these restrictions in the UK. This has been a difficult patch for most of us, but some people have found a way to thrive with the extra time on their hands. And no, I'm not just talking about baking sourdough and binging your way through Tiger King. Meggie Foster is an actor and impressionist whose videos mocking politicians and other public figures have been going viral on platforms like TikTok. And I'm pleased to say she joins us today. Hello, Meggie.
Hi guys, thank you for having me.
Now, for the handful of people not familiar with your work, Meggie, can you just give a brief overview of what it is that's made you famous in lockdown?
Yeah, so basically, I've been using an app called TikTok, which basically lets you put an audio on there and then you create your own short film over that audio, whether that's a dance or a song or, in my case, sketch, a little 1 minute sketches. And I started sort of, well, I at the beginning I was doing sort of celebrities and things like that, but then I started going into more politics. So I've been, getting clips from politicians, MPs, whoever, and sort of making my own absurd story over the top of it. And it seems to have sort of picked up online and gone viral, which is weird.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first video that I saw of yours was an exchange that you mocked between Emily Thornberry and Caroline Flint. And it's kind of like, you know, it was a political debate, but the way that you kind of performed it made it look more like a soap opera showdown. You know, what is it about politics today that makes you think, you know, this is ripe for a parody?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of sort of satire and things like that, it's always relevant. And there's a long history in Britain of cartoons, etc., that have, you know, that have made politics funny. And I guess what, you know, why people enjoy mine is that it's sort of bringing it to life. It's taking the cartoon and it's putting it in a short film. And I think it's just very like easily shared as well because they're quite short. But yeah, I mean, there's quite, in terms of like the stuff that I'm using, it, you know, if you take it out of its context of, I don't know, Boris doing a Stay Alert speech and putting it in, you know, what I did was put him reading a bedtime story to Theresa May. It just, you hear the words differently. And it just makes it a bit funny. I think we've all forgotten how to laugh over the past couple of months. It's all been a bit dreary. So yeah, I just wanted to sort of make people laugh really.
And you've evolved quite a bit because, you know, you used to do impressions on something called Dub Smash, is that right?
Yeah. So yeah, Dub Smash was like the mini version of TikTok back in the day.
Yeah, and so you've obviously kind of, it's evolved along the way. I mean, do you find certain people easier to mimic? Do you find politicians are sort of, has it opened a new door for you?
In terms of what's easier, I mean, like actually doing it, politicians are quite good because they speak quite slowly. Doing them and lip syncing what they're saying. If someone's talking quicker, it's much more difficult. Just in terms to get the timing perfect. But yeah, I think in terms of, you know, politicians and stuff like that, I think it's just there's quite a lot of funny stuff that they say, or they stumble over their words like Priti Patel did. So and there's loads of content out there, loads of content. And I think because, you know, I'm not making a point as such. There's no point to be made in any of these videos. And I think I do them about the left, right, green, every single sort of party. And I think that's people are just like feel quite refreshed that, you know, it's not just because a lot of comedy is left wing. And I think, just to do it about every party, it's quite funny. So,
yeah. And across the political spectrum, there are quite a lot of people who are very gaffe prone. Very, you know, as you say, they're you must know some people that you just know every time they speak, there's going to be something in this, or there's going to be something worthy in it.
Yeah, exactly. For example, you know, Priti Patel, she stumbled over her words quite a few times. But then again, I'm not, you know, attacking her. There's no malice or it's all done in good faith. And the thing is that like the politicians that I've done, they can see that too. People have retweeted, got in touch, and it's really good that I can now as me think actually, no, these people do have a sense of humor. They're not all bad.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to have a thick skin to be in politics. I think that's one of the first rules. Yeah. And also, I think, you know, what we see in the past few years is politicians getting some absolutely horrendous abuse. And actually, this kind of thing is the kind of lighthearted teasing that they're used to. That, as you say, that goes way back, doesn't it? That's all right.
Mm, exactly. Yeah, I mean, in terms of that, it's satire is always relevant, like I said. And yeah, I mean, if you're in that sort of public eye, you know, even if you're a celebrity or, you know, royalty and stuff like that, you know, everyone's up for grabs. So
yeah. Do you find yourself personally as a performer and as a young woman on, you know, all these apps, do you find that you yourself ever get negative criticism, sort of attacks, that kind of thing? Because that's rife on a lot of these apps and it's a big problem for young people, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you're never going to please everyone, right? And, you know, because it is quite, you know, if I'm doing something, you know, like Boris Johnson, and then I get maybe like people just going, oh, no, that you must be left wing or you must be right wing. And I think you just need to look at all of my stuff, take it into context. You can see that there's no like judgment that I'm personally, you know, doing. I'm actually not political at all, really. So it's quite funny just for me to sort of see that. But, you know, like any being online is always quite difficult, I think, in any sort of aspect, whether that's just being a model or a influencer on Instagram. I think you're never going to please everyone. But to be honest with you, I haven't really had many negative comments at all. Everyone's been super supportive. And everyone seems to be enjoying them. So I think I've actually really lucked out. I really haven't had many bad comments. Some people don't find them very funny, but, you know, that's, you know, they can go watch something else.
Well, you can't, as you say, you can't please them all. Yeah. You know, something that I'm really interested in is I've seen some stats recently about how young people, I'm thinking teenagers mostly, I think under the age of 21, are seeing more and more of their news through things like Instagram and TikTok. I think the percentage was something like 30 or 40% who only get their news through places like Instagram, which people like myself, who are now clearly on the older side of things, I mean, that's odd for me. You know, I still go to websites and I still actually read a physical paper occasionally. So it's interesting that some people are seeing politics potentially only through the lens of people like yourself.
Yeah, I think I've had a few people have said that to me. And I mean, I have, you know, friends that may be like, oh, I'm not political, I'm not going to vote and stuff like that. And I think it's very important for young people to get involved with it, you know, you know, especially for women, our vote was very hard won. And I think, you know, if you don't vote, you can't really complain. It might, you know, no party, in my opinion, you know, gets all the answers right. So you've got to sort of weigh up. In terms of my politics, I believe in people. I trust the public to use their brains and rationality to sort of change the world. And I think there's a tendency that we think among my generation to think of each other as this like seething throng who can't be reasoned with. But I actually don't think that's true. I think we're all adults. We've all got the capacity to listen to various ideas. And we just need to think about them and choose how to act in a logical and rational way. I would, you know, I think my generation and younger need to get more involved with politics. I think some people leave it up to the older generation, but then nothing will really change. So,
yeah. And what would your advice be to sort of media brands and companies like ourselves who, you know, want to reach those younger audiences, want to reach those different audiences, but making content and stories and politics accessible to those people?
Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, so that's why social media is great. I mean, there's good and bad, obviously, with social media and stuff like that. But if that's where the audience is, then of course, I think that, you know, well, you can see politicians on Twitter and stuff like that. I think, you know, obviously back in the day we didn't have Twitter, but that's, you know, people get their views from there, Facebook, Instagram, I think, and TikTok, obviously now, like Sarah Cooper, she does her Trump lip syncs. Mm. But then again, I'm not promoting any party doing these. So I think in that sense, you know, you can't really take my videos as, oh, that's definitely what the Conservative Party are. They're drinking and smoking. Like, of course not. You've got to take it for what it is, which is just a silly video. So there's no like propaganda there or anything. So I don't know, in that sense, on my half, I'm not sure how influential I would be to a party, because that's not really the point of my videos.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And, you know, when you go to actually film one of your videos, often these videos they're very quick fire, they're short and brief, and that's the way that these apps are designed. People they're flicking through, they don't, you know, short attention spans, they want something bitty and bite-sized, but presumably they take quite a bit of effort going into them.
Yeah, so it's actually really funny. I mean, they're 1 minute long max, but they can range from 2 to 5 hours. That just depends on certain things, really. It depends how many characters are in there, how fast the person's talking. And what people don't know actually is with TikTok, it's actually really annoying because it goes out of sync very quickly when you upload it. And I can't just film Boris and Theresa. So all Boris, then all Theresa. I've got to, every time you see the character change, so Boris, Theresa, Boris, Theresa, I'm actually changing costumes and doing maybe like 0.5 seconds of filming. And then changing costumes and doing the next 1 second, just because otherwise it goes out of time. And it's really frustrating. But yeah, it does. It can take up to 5.5 hours, which is quite a long time for a minute. But there you go.
That is a lot. That is very much putting in the effort for your art, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I think I don't like doing things half-heartedly. I take quite a Brechtian approach. Brecht was a theatre practitioner, and he liked minimalistic things. So I don't go all elaborate with props and things like that, but most of my props are there for a reason. For example, the Priti Patel one, you know, there was changing bottles. She actually used to work for Diageo, the drinks company. So I added all the brands of Diageo that I could, which is why the bottles change. And they're not just random bottles there for no reason. They've all got sort of like a hidden meaning behind it. So yeah, I try to do the best I can within a minute to sort of, you know, make it a bit more creative, really.
That's very clever. Very clever. And, you know, 5 hours is a long time, but we've all had quite a lot of time to kill as we've been in lockdown. Where have you been and how have you been putting in the time?
Yeah, so the reason I'm doing these is because I'm a fully trained actress, but I to pay my rent in London, obviously I needed a full-time job. So I actually got furloughed from that, hence why I have the time to do 5-hour, 1-minute videos. But yeah, I'm based in London, but obviously I just needed some greenery, a bit more space. So I came back to Oxfordshire to my parents' house. So yeah, I've just been stuck with my parents and my brother. I feel like I'm back at school. But yeah, it's been challenging. Obviously we can't really see anyone, and for performers especially, you know, theatres aren't going back till next year now. And I, you know, I've always wanted to act. This has always been the dream. And I think it's actually made me realize that performers have to be more entrepreneurial. You've got to take things into your own hands. And don't get me wrong, I've been that person to sit and wait for the phone to ring. But especially now where you can't get any jobs, whether you're a singer, dancer, actor, anything, I think it's just a reminder to everyone that, you know, you can create your own stuff. Luckily mine got picked up. I'm not saying that, you know, this just happened randomly. It wasn't planned at all, but it's a very big eye opener. And I think that people need to sort of work for themselves rather than waiting for the phone to ring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's happening in so many industries, but as you say, the arts is always one of the first ones to suffer when there's cuts or when things get shut down, and yet people always find the way through that, and talent always sort of shines through in the end.
Yeah, and exactly.
As you say, you're not the only person who's been doing this. You mentioned Sarah Cooper in the US, who a lot of people will have seen on Twitter. And she does much the same thing. She sort of, you know, mimes over some of Trump's more bizarre ramblings. I remember the one she did of, you know, injecting the disinfectant. Yeah, and she's fantastic. So it's, you know, there's obviously a theme here. There's a genre here being born. Do you think that people have found it okay to laugh during this period? Have found that they can actually break out and find some things to smile about?
Yeah, I think it's really sad. Like, I know it's not great. It's really miserable time, but you know, we all need to laugh. You know, laughter's the best medicine, I always say. We've got to find a light, you know, in this darkness. And if it's a way of, you know, making lighthearted comedy from situations that we're in, then I'm all for it. And I think these videos like Sarah's stuff, it's allowing people to go, actually, no, we can laugh. We don't have to be always so gloomy. And obviously there's issues out there in the world. But you still have to laugh. You still got to live. So yeah, I think it's quite, you know, what's the word? Cathartic, I think, in a way, if that's the right word to use. Yeah, I think that we all do need to laugh. We all need to, you know, get through this together. And I think a comedy is a great way of doing that.
Yeah. And I mean, TikTok is a huge platform to be making your name on. I mean, it's, you know, it's worldwide, and as you say, it's opening up to new generations of young people. But where do you hope this will take you next? What would you like to move this on to, or are you just kind of taking it day by day?
Yeah, so I mean, I've come out of drama school a few years ago, and I, you know, it's an incredibly difficult industry. It's just, everyone knows, it's just so hard to get noticed. I've always done sort of impressions, sketches, you know, for my family, my friends and things like that. I mean, if I was dreaming big, I would love to have my own sort of sketch show sort of thing, maybe involving lip syncing, maybe not. But again, I'm not, you know, I, as an actor, love normal theatre as well. And I think, you know, I can't really be I haven't really got the platform yet to be choosy of what I can say yes or no to. So I would love to collaborate with a comedy writer and sort of create my own thing. But I'm not also adverse to sort of going down a straight acting route. But if I had the choice, I would definitely want sort of like the Meggie show and have different characters come in, maybe political, maybe not, who knows. I think the options are endless. So absolutely. Yeah, I hope something comes of it. So yeah, I'd love to collab with a comedic writer.
Yeah. Who are your own influences, your own sort of comedic heroes?
Yeah, I think in terms of sort of sketch shows and that, Catherine Tate, I absolutely love her. I've watched her, and I remember her in an interview once, and she said why she likes doing it and creating different characters is that you become someone else. You don't have to be, you know, Catherine or Meggie. Like you have, that's my escape. And I think that's really nice. So to my friends and my family, I'm this, but as my job and as, you know, on screen and any actor is just to become a different character and sort of escape yourself for one moment. So she's just been great and she's so funny. And she takes piss out of herself. And I think that's something that I would also like to explore as well. I think it's quite funny. So, yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned sort of becoming someone else. I remember reading once, I think it was an interview with Gary Oldman when he played Churchill in Darkest Hour, and he said that once he put on all that costume, that incredible sort of facial stuff and costume, whatever, he really felt so much like he was Churchill that he then could really just let rip and be the part. And obviously that's the same for quite a lot of costumes and dressing up. But is it like that when you get to take on someone's voice as you do?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's different, isn't it? Because I'm not trying to dress as Caroline Flynn or Emily Thornberry. I'm making them, you know, two schoolgirls and, you know, potentially in the playground. So in that sense, you know, that outfit just doesn't really go with her accent. Because obviously she's a, you know, an older woman and, you know, she's not a child in a playground. So it's quite difficult in that. But I think the juxtaposition of that makes it funnier. But it makes my the costumes help the way I'm, you know, my idiosyncrasies for that person. So, you know, she might be a bit, you know, pouty if she's in her pink plastic PVC jacket. It would help me do the facial expressions, so I don't really need to think about sort of the words that they're saying. It's more the costumes and stuff like that bring out all of the visual rather than the sound.
And actually that juxtaposition has always kind of been there in this kind of comedy, because I'm thinking of you know, in Beau Selecta, they always had really bizarre accents that weren't the accents of the actual celebrities. And even back you know, Spitting Image, I think the Queen Mum used to have a Liverpool accent.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite different, isn't it? Because it's not, it's the opposite of that. I'm using their actual words. So yeah, I think that's why it's become a bit more popular. It's just because I'm not putting anyone's, you know, put a different accent or anything like that. It's just them. It's their words. I didn't put any words in anyone's mouth.
Absolutely. Well, Meggie, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
No problem. Guys, you can follow Meggie across YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, TikTok. She's Meggie Foster on all those accounts. If you're a new listener to the show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can keep up to date with everything to do with the COVID-19 pandemic on The Independent. There are links in the description of this show so you can follow us. I've been Ben Kelly. Thank you for listening. And until next time, goodbye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.